Welcome to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini, the podcast where we meet the extraordinary talents, both on stage and off, working at Opera Australia. These conversations were all originally filmed for our streaming service, OA TV. You can find more online at tv.opera.org.au, as well as full productions and behind-the-scenes footage. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to OA TV. And my very special guest today, Alex Lewis. Alex, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's fantastic to have you here. So you're rehearsing upstairs at the moment on The Merry Widow.
Yeah.
With Julie Lee Goodwin and a wonderful cast. Of course, you've done it before. You did it in the original production. Gorgeous production by Graham Murphy. But now it's the first production that we've had, well, not totally post-COVID, but almost post-COVID. So do you want to talk a little bit about how that is?
Having just arrived from Melbourne, it was initially quite confronting for me and for my wife, being up in Sydney in a generally speaking maskless city. So that's taking a bit of an adjustment, and obviously we've all had 8 months, give or take, off from this thing. But it's everyone's 100% professional, and obviously backstage we've got a whole lot of protocols in place and hand sanitizers everywhere and antibacterial wipes. We're rehearsing mainly in masks, or if you're off stage, for at least Julie and I, masks are on and safe. We're sort of distancing things initially, all that sort of stuff. But it was incredible being in the room with colleagues and friends yesterday. The vast majority of the cast I've worked with before on this, so it was great to see some familiar faces. One or two I go back to my training days at Whopper even, so it was always nice to catch up with those sorts of people. But it's taken a little bit of adjustment and a bit of settling in and going, oh, that's right, we're quite good at this thing. We can trust what we do, what
we know we're doing.
You know, yeah. Just a huge relief for everyone.
Yeah.
We want to share it again.
Yeah. Well, I think it is for all of us. And it's exciting, you know, to hear singing in the building. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But let me take you back to when it all started. And, of course, you have very well-known parents in Patricia and Michael Lewis, of course. Your dad was a great singer with the company for many years. So you and your brother, Ben, followed them into the profession.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about how that was, you know, growing up in a family like that and then realising that that's what you wanted to do as well?
Yeah, sure. I personally didn't know any different. So it was 100% normal for my brother Ben and I, but it was exciting. We were very much a part of the building and the life of the company. Mum and Dad, you know, had been with the company for a long time back then, and it was during the Joan and Richard era. When we were in primary school, Joan and Richard generously donated their time to do a lot of fundraising concerts for our primary school up on the North Shore. And I think as a result, all the instruments they bought, the school's now a performing arts school up there, which is quite amazing. So it was an extraordinary thing. I mean, my second home was the Opera House. For me now, being back here again, and it'll be a little different because family aren't allowed backstage at the moment, but now I just became a dad during this pandemic. To think about bringing my little son Theo into the building and sharing the excitement of it all was extraordinary.
Well, it's really continuing what you experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to, my wife's an amazing singer and actress as well. So be interesting to see whether or not his choice. You know, Mum and Dad always said, you know, do what you want to do. And I kind of always wanted to do what they did. But I do remember them saying, look, Al, it's a hard profession. If we think you're perhaps not cut out for it, we'll have a little chat. And thankfully, to this day, we still haven't had that chat. So I think I'm doing okay so far. It was a tremendous thing, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So
yeah, but you've had extraordinary experience. You mentioned that you studied at Whopper, and so you started out really in musical theatre.
Yeah, my first grounding in music really was in the English cathedral system when we lived over there. And my dad was working in London and in Europe a little bit at the time, and so we all moved to the UK, and so I was a professional cathedral chorister for about 5 years, and toured America twice with the choir and got all of kind of my early musical grounding over there.
Yeah.
And then came back to Oz and always sang in choirs and things at school and played Cobweb in A Midsummer Night's Dream. Mm-hmm. Here for OA. My voice broke 2 weeks before opening night, which was fun. Then I kind of, I thought I'd go into straight away into the classical world, but took the year off after school. And during that time, I did a production of Into the Woods with the Sydney Uni Dramatic Society and was like, oh, Stephen Sondheim. Well, this is kind of fun. This is interesting.
A new discovery.
And then my brother and I ended up going to Whopper and sort of the rest is history on the kind of musical theatre front. And I've been fortunate to kind of juggle both worlds a little bit.
Yeah, and you're very good at both, which is unusual.
Thank you.
But in recent years, you've made much more of a commitment to opera.
Yeah, well, when you become a young artist at the Metropolitan Opera,
exactly.
it's quite the commitment. So, well, when I was doing a production of Phantom with Julie Lee Goodwin, as it happens, during that time, I guess I was singing more than I had. It was the first long-running musical I'd done. Mm. I'd done a couple of shorter runs of various things, but, and you're singing 8 times a week, day in, day out, your voice stretches and grows, and I was in my mid-20s, which for guys can really be a period of kind of vocal settling and a little bit of change, and I found that I was warming up as high as the tenor singing Pianji next door, and thought, oh, hey, what's going on here then?
Yeah.
And so after Phantom finished, kind of explored a little bit of tenor rep and then did some auditions. I'd actually won the New York Study Award as a baritone a couple of years before, or just before Phantom started. And I was afforded the opportunity with that scholarship to work with some people at the Met. And they said, look, you're going to do Phantom, please take care of yourself and come back and see us when it's all over.
Yeah.
And came back and presented as a tenor, and they kind of, fortunately they did take a punt because I'd been singing as a tenor for about 5 minutes.
Mm.
And then committed to the kind of transition via the Merrill Opera program and then the Lindemann program. And since then I've kind of been juggling some pretty extremes, really. I mean, I remember when we did Widow here last time, I went from the Merry Widow straight into the Nose, which, you know, for me in the Nose is
it's very high.
About 15 high Cs or something.
Yes, exactly.
You're going from something that's traditionally more of a baritonal role to that. But I've been lucky to be able to play around with that sort of stuff.
And I think you sang Yennefer. At Santa Fe, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's another big step.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved being given the opportunity to kind of spread my operatic wings a little bit. And to play Lutzer, which is, he's one of those characters. I mean, you know what it's like. There are some, we play a range of different character types, and there are always some that just will forever live with you.
Yeah.
And Lutzer's absolutely one of those. If ever I got the opportunity to perform that role again, the score is just heaven sent.
Yeah.
It's just an extraordinary thing. I was lucky to prep it here with John Haddock, and he said it inspired a lot of his writing and things like that. So that was, you know, and to work alongside Patricia Rossette over there, who'd started that production, the David Alden production. She was Yennefer 17 years ago and then came back as Kostelnička.
Uh-huh.
So it was, and in Santa Fe, which is just the most stunning part of the world, to do that over there. And I think I'm quite suited to that sort of repertoire as well. So, last year was a fascinating and brilliantly exciting year for me to be able to go from West Side Story on the Harbour here again with Julie Lee to Lutzer in Yennefer. And then I got to do Tate in Ragtime for the production company at the end of the year, which turns out was their final production, at least in current format anyway. So it was sort of all over the place. But I love the excitement of that. And I think it's one of my versatility, I think, is probably one of my kind of greater attributes, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about Danilo, because it's a fantastic part for you. You had a huge success when we premiered this production. And, you know, it sits very well for you. And I think the experience that you've had coming from musical theatre and the combination of being an opera singer as well for that character, you know, you couldn't ask for more.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit about playing
Danilo?
Yeah,
sure. I mean, I feel so fortunate to have been involved in two brilliant and new productions and very, very different. Firstly, I did, just after my young artist tenure in the Met, I did 30-odd performances as Sambrioche in a new version directed by Susan Stroman. And so I got to watch Sir Thomas Allen tread the boards and Kelly O'Hara as Valenciennes as well, obviously. Renee Fleming and Nathan Gunn were also fabulous as well. But to see Sir Tom ply his craft and how he worked in the studio and his style. Obviously, he's played Danilo a lot, was one of the great Danilos, and now he's an incredible Baronzito. And to watch him go about it and the nuance, the style, the commitment, the understanding of the genre was every rehearsal was a lesson for me. And then to come here and be able to work with Graham and Janet on this, I think he was aware of me a little bit and knew I'd done a little bit of musical theatre, but we'd not worked with one another before. And he was aware of Taryn Fiebig and her work, and Taryn was the first of the Hannahs over in Perth. And he didn't know that I'd done the amount of dancing that I had done, and he didn't know that Tassie had trained as a ballet dancer as a girl for many, many years. So he, you know, like so many wonderful creative people, they're so spontaneous and they see what they've got in front of them and they work around that.
Yeah.
And so he really was flexible with us and saw what we could do and went, oh, great. And for me, one of the wonderful things with this production is how surprising a lot of the choreographic elements are.
And of course, Julie Lee is a fantastic dancer.
Exactly
as well,
right. So yeah, well, she's done just about as many musicals as I have.
Yes, been, exactly. So, well, I mean, the whole idea of the production too is to make it more like a musical than kind of put it in a mothball situation that it's a Viennese operetta.
Absolutely.
Of course, it comes from that, but the production has the energy of a musical.
Absolutely, and the dialogue, Justin Fleming's dialogue in it is so fantastic and so witty and. You know, there's scenes with underscoring just as you get in a musical, and then we've got separate scenes that run of their own accord as well. And when we worked on them in Perth, Tassie's such a great actress as well. I've been so lucky because I think I've had four different widows on this in various states in the country, and they're all tremendous actors, all unique in their own special ways, and so they've all brought their own special little something to the role. But Graham always, from the word go, just said, let's not forget this is a love story. It's a story of intimacy. It's a story of, you know, you want the audience is just dying for these people. Come on, get out of your own way and get together. And so there are all these beautifully intimate moments. And it's one of the tricky things, having done something like West Side on the Harbour as well, where you have so much of the music is so lush and so rich and so grand in Widow as it is in West Side. But then there are these moments of genuine intimacy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How do we play those two worlds concurrently? So how do we bring the camera into these kind of really dynamic, beautifully subtle and intimate moments?
And also the comic moments too.
Absolutely.
You know, the balance is, it's difficult to find that balance.
Yep.
But you do it brilliantly.
Well, when you've got people like David Whitney in the show as well and Ben Rashid who kind of take care of all the larger comic stuff, I remember working with Gail Edwards here on Sweeney Todd and watching Peter Comenwright and Judy Connelly talk with her about the light and shade and kind of, the more extreme you go in one direction, the more extreme you can go in the other direction.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's the same thing applies here with the intimacy. So the larger the lush things are, the further you can actually go to balance it out. So the bigger some of the comedy is, the kind of more subtle other comedic moments can be as well.
Well, I think then, as you mentioned too, the really intimate moments are much, much stronger and believable. And they need to be.
Yeah. Again, I could keep dropping names everywhere, but these are some. Kelly O'Hara was just watching her work in that production and seeing how her process was about refining, was about starting from the purest, smallest embryonic form of the moment, discovering what that moment was, and then slowly building it out to fill the studio, and then slowly building it out to fill the Metropolitan Opera. And so it's the same thing here, always coming back to truth, always coming back to a sense of connection. And, you know, Julie and I have worked with one another a lot now.
And you have great chemistry. It's terrific.
It's a pleasure to work with her and people like her, because you can put all your trust in them. You know they're going to be there, and you can give them something new and they'll give you something new back as well.
Well, I mean, I think that's one of the wonderful things about it. You can see when two people are masters of their craft, as you and Julie are, and how you give to each other and how it comes back. And every performance is different because you find something else.
Yeah.
And you feel that as an audience member. You know, it's immediate at every performance. And it's fantastic.
It's part of the fun of this show.
Yeah, know? I'm sure. Yeah.
There's such inbuilt flexibility.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Alex, it's great having you here, but you're going to sing something for us today.
I am. I'm going to do a slightly self-contained version of Danilo's entrance song.
Yep.
Which is a bit wild in this production, but we'll have a little bit of fun with that. It's it's not very often do you get the kind of the last entrance into a show, and when it's an entrance like this, you kind of I'll milk it for all it's worth. Thanks very much.
Fantastic. Well, it's great having you, and all the best for the show.
Thanks, Lyndon.
And we'll see you in the theatre very soon.
Yes, see the audience there soon. Come along, yay!
Thank you.
Very good. Oh, fatherland, if you don't mind, though I am yours for daily grind, a diplomat must have the night to pursue his own discreet delight. My work begins at 1:30, and then by 2 the job is done. And if it seems a lovely day, the office is no place to stay. I cut all my reports by half, then flick them off to junior staff. As diplomats can't breathe a word, all talks appear to me absurd. The documents are so grotesque, as they are piled across my desk, I find it hard enough to think, but let alone to think in ink. No one the work's complete, a fellow longs to rest his feet. They say we slave away in light, so we can find relief at night. Then I go to Maxime's, where I can live in dreams. I'm friends with all the chic dames, and I know all their nicknames. Lolo, Dodo, Juju, Clo, Clo, Margot, Frou, Frou. They help me to forget you, the dear fatherland. And in this sweet domain, I drink some more champagne, and then it's hugs and kisses with all the lovely misses. No, no, don't, Clo, Clo, Margot, Frou, Frou. How soon I have forgotten the dear fatherland.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini. We hope you've enjoyed the chat, and we'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast. That way, you'll get each new episode as they're released. We also hope to see you in the theatre in the not-too-distant future. And you can stay up to date with all we've got going on at opera.org.au.